Simon of the Holy Spirit, Simon, the servant of the third Sunday in Advent, is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to them, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." That's for the text. Please be seated. Can you handle the real things in life? For various reasons, most can't. So most sadly live in a facade or a truth-avoiding masquerade-type fake existence. And that's certainly one way to live. But when a reality check comes along that disrupts the facade or the fake front, watch out. The event recorded in Holy Scripture that you are blessed to have proclaimed into your ears today really happened. It was a hard event in the life of John the Baptist. Hard events happen all the time, no matter what time or season of the year it is. God is no respecter of persons. Plus, his will is always best anyhow. The icon used on the front of this week's bulletin depicts the reality proclaimed through the Holy Scriptures. Now, some might look at it and think, "My goodness, what a horrible icon to place in the front of a church bulletin. It's supposed to be all about nothing but happiness, especially now when we're experiencing joy within the season of shopping. It's not supposed to be something depressing like this. This is offensive. This will rub people the wrong way. How does this reflect rejoicing in the Lord?" And friends, this icon simply reflects the great biblical theology that the Evangelical Lutheran Church believes, teaches, and confesses. It's a real theology. The theology of the cross, and by that is meant a crucifix. For we preach Christ crucified. Now, if that is offensive, if Christ crucified is offensive, then more catechesis, more teaching is definitely needed. By the way, catechesis is a lifelong endeavor from which you're never supposed to graduate. The Lord is always striking against the so-thought better judgment of man. And so it continues with the Lord's announcement of John the Baptist being the greatest among those born of women. Man, in his finite wisdom, would look at John, who adorned himself with camel's hair, eating locusts, looking like the ragtag man on the front of the bulletin, and consider him a reject, a loser, a man that God couldn't have favored because he never brought things to work out for God. God never brought things to work out for John. But here's one of your reality checks. Being brought ought to believe in the merits of Christ crucified for you for the forgiveness of your sins doesn't mean that everything is going to be smooth sailing in life. John the Baptist was clearly a believer, even from the womb, as the Holy Scriptures depict him. And yet, as the greatest preacher of repentance and belief in Christ Jesus, look where he's at. But that is real life. That's the Christian life. It is a life lived in the theology of the cross of Christ crucified. No matter what your circumstances are, what it isn't is a fake theology. It doesn't pretend. It doesn't put blinders on for the mere sake of living in a facade. Another reality check from the Holy Scriptures that the world and sinful flesh cannot comprehend is the fact that God uses the enemies of faith to strengthen those of the faith. The servants of evil do their worst, and God uses it. Yes, as hard as it is to swallow this reality, it is true. God allows evil. But evil doesn't even realize that it is working for God. God uses the trials of life to strengthen faith, to get you to lean upon Him and not on your own understanding, to not trust in yourselves in any way, but to trust alone in God, who is your strength, hope, peace, comfort, and joy. Life is always filled with things that don't work out. It is filled with suffering. It's important that you live in reality and not a facade. Look at what Jesus speaks about with John's followers. The blind, the lame, lepers, the deaf, the dead, and the poor. From Christ Jesus' mouth himself, hear the word of the Lord. There is suffering. People in this world are experiencing the fallenness of their sinful flesh, and the fallenness of this veil of tears, or as Luther called it, this valley of sorrows called birth. That is reality. Could you imagine if the followers of John the Baptist would have told Christ the Lord after hearing him speak of real suffering? They would have said, "Oh, sorry, Jesus, we can't take that back to John. Even though you change all of that, it's too depressing. It would be too real talking to him about the suffering that's absolutely going on in the world. Come on, Jesus, are you kidding? John himself is sitting right now in a prison cell, listening to the axe man sharpen his blade. Can you send some fluffy news of pretty butterflies or cute kittens instead? Or what if we just told him that you had said, everything will be okay, time will heal? Or maybe we can set up a praise band outside of the jail, and as we flood him with happy, clappy, lovey-dovey songs, his condition will get better. Release his emotions, even though we know it's not properly giving him the assurance that he needs. Well, thanks be to God, we didn't react act in such a way. Nor did Satan interrupt Christ's message and bring them to change it anyway. At least back then, he didn't. Thankfully, the reality of Christ's words were inspired to be written for your hearing. The reality of Christ's words is the very reason John sent his followers to Jesus, so that their own ears would hear the Word made flesh tell them where there is strength, hope, peace, comfort, and joy. Amidst the suffering of this fallen world, amidst the sinfulness of man's flesh, it is only in Christ Jesus. He is the great physician, the great healer of all ills. Through his merits for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, there is strength. There is hope. There is peace. There is reason to rejoice. For Christ crucified for you is your only comfort. It's important, however, to know that in order for there to be true strength, hope, peace, and comfort, God must bring to you the reality check of your sinfulness. You can't fake your way into heaven. God must bring about godly repentance. Why do you think John the Baptist is referred to as the greatest preacher? Because he preached repentance unabashedly, boldly, sternly. Why do you think God's word in Isaiah from our Old Testament text has the voice in the wilderness crying out, "All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field"? The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. Why such real words? Because that is the reality that God's word proclaims. That is God's word, which brings one to not trust in the flesh at all. My friends, in Christ Jesus, this has to be made very clear. God's bringing you to repentance does not mean that you are to remain in some sort of somber state of being, or that you have to muster up a better quality or quantity of repentance. To be penitent is, first of all, an action that only God brings about in you. It's Him bringing you to trust only in the merits of Christ crucified for you. You cannot muster that up as if you will it into being. So in this penitential season of Advent, God's Word, utilized through the man-made church season, does what it was created to always do: bring about repentance and belief in Christ. Advent, just like Lent, is simply a season in which there is emphasized a more than usual examination of the self, according to God's Ten Commandments, and according to the scripture readings and the collects. They this about through his church. But amidst this work of God, amidst this God-generated evidence, he then brings about strength, hope, peace, comfort, and joy. How? Just like John the Baptist did with his followers, it is by pointing you to the one who is your strength, hope, peace, comfort, and joy. Christ crucified for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Look again at the words of Isaiah. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. It's not just his true word against your withering, fading flesh that stands, but also true is the rescue of that flesh through the Son who took on your flesh to die in your place for the forgiveness of your sins. That word of God stands forever as well. That true word of God is your strength, your hope, your peace, your comfort, and your joy. The fact that God's word bespeaks you righteous through what Christ has earned for you for the forgiveness of your sins inevitably brings rejoicing. Right in the midst of the penitence, right in the midst of a penitential season, there is a rose-colored candle. There is rejoicing because God comforts his people. He comforts those who hear and know their shepherd's voice. There is not a dismissal of or a purposeful disregard toward repentance. It has its place. It has to. God's word makes it very clear, and God's word is what brings it about anyhow. Repentance isn't remaining in a somber state. It is faith itself that is repentant. If God created faith is fixed on Christ Jesus alone. God's word brings a reality check through his law, revealing the reality that you are the blind, the lame, the deaf, the dead, and the poor. And thanks be to God that he reveals this reality check to you. For by doing so, God drives you to Christ crucified as your only source of healing, your only source of strength, hope, peace, comfort, and joy. And because that is sure and certain, because you're not waiting for another, for Christ has come and finished everything for you, and he continues to advent to you, proclaiming and delivering this forgiveness of sins through his word and sacraments, that rejoicing shall pour forth indeed by God's doing. Thanks be to God that he keeps you prepared for Christ's coming again in glory. So live. Live in the realities of a suffering life, surrounded by the sins of others.